The day, day six, is Jason Jeddon versus Maytag. Mr. Dunham, this is case number 053861.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Darrell Dunham. I'm representing Jason Seddon. Briefly, the facts. Seddon started working at Maytag in October of 1998. He was injured in November of 2002, filed a workers' compensation claim in December of 2002. He went on accident and sickness leave, as is permitted by the union contract, and when he exhausted that leave, he attempted to go back to work at Maytag, full duty without restrictions. He was not able to do it. Went to his treating physician and got a light-duty work restriction slip. Took it to Marie Brasher, who was at Human Resources at Maytag and Heron. She refused to honor the restrictions because Seddon had gone to an IME doctor, St. Louis, Dr. Kitchens, a neurosurgeon, who concluded that whatever injuries or problems Seddon had were at best a back strain. He was his complaints were subjective, and he could return to work without restrictions. So at that point in time, Brasher did not offer him any work. There isn't any dispute that their Maytag did have a light duty program.
Well, given that the Illinois Supreme Court doesn't recognize a claim for destructive discharge based on changes in working conditions like demotions or harassment, on what basis could we find it would recognize a claim based on failure to provide light duty work?
Your Honor, and of course that hits the central point of the appeal. And of course, you're referring to the Zimmerman case. And
right.
And if we believed that Zimmerman totally foreclosed this litigation, then we never would have filed it. We never would have prosecuted this appeal. But I think that under we've, of course, asked that you certify a question to the Illinois Supreme Court. And I don't think there's going to be much dispute that the first three prongs of this court's analysis in State Farm have been met. The question is, has the Supreme Court in Zimmerman, have they not given us a clear path as to what is the resolution of the case? And what I'd like to do, Your Honor, is I'd like to take a look at the Zimmerman case. I'm reading from 164 Illinois 2nd, pages 39 and 40. Now, we know that in Zimmerman that was a situation where the allegation was is that in a discriminatory manner the plaintiff was demoted. And there's no dispute that in Zimmerman the Illinois Supreme Court said we're not going to extend the Kelsey opinion to those situations. And so what the plaintiff did in that case, predictably, is say, well, wait a minute. If you just allow the employer, in this case, our case, Maytag, to do anything and everything short of termination, paraded out a list of horror stories. And I'm just reading from the opinion, and where they're quoting from the appellant's brief. An employer could take extraordinary measures, example, demote a vice president to a stock person, or reduce an employee's hours from 40 per week to 1 hour per week with complete immunity from the civil justice system. That was what the plaintiff in Zimmerman was arguing, and this is what the Supreme Court said. We note that plaintiff's complaint offers no facts remotely comparable to her hypothetical examples. Indeed, plaintiff's complaint lacks specificity. Well, what is our complaint? Let us suggest, Your Honors, we think what this is, instead of them reducing Seddon's work week from 40 hours a week to 1 hour, what they did was they reduced his work week from 40 hours to no hours and essentially starved him into submission. So with all due respect to the point that was being pursued by Maytag in this appeal, it seems to me that the Supreme Court, the Zimmerman Court, has clearly left open the possibility that it would recognize a retaliatory discharge claim in this situation where they reduced Seddon's work hours from 40 hours to no hours.
Well, they made some mention in dicta there might be an expansion, but that is not the Illinois Supreme Court hasn't jumped on that language or applied it in any way, and they certainly haven't applied it to light duty work or said it's a kind of compelling circumstance.
To my knowledge, Your Honor, the Illinois Supreme Court has not revisited the scope of Kelsey since Zimmerman. The lower courts, in fact, there's been federal district courts that have been unfavorable to these claims. I don't think it's a misreading of Zimmerman to say that they look at these claims with some criticism. But the point is, even the Illinois appellate court cases and even some federal district court cases have not come out and flat out said that what Zimmerman stands for, under no circumstances anywhere, are we ever going to recognize an action for retaliatory discharge where it's short of actual flat-out termination.
What about the Metzger case, when the court used that exact language? We have, however, never, and that's italicized, recognized a common law tort for any injury short of actual discharge.
And that is exactly true, Your Honor. They haven't. The point is they have not also, Your Honor, in Zimmerman, they have not, in that Mexico case, they didn't also take the additional step and close the door. What they did in Zimmerman is they opened the door for this possibility. And I understand that this court and Judge Gilbert was in a very difficult situation. But we didn't bring the case to federal court. We started in state court. Frankly, if it could have been left in state court, then I could have appealed the Fifth District, and then I could have asked the Supreme Court to review this. But they haven't done anything procedurally incorrect. But it seems to me that what the obligation of the federal court is under Erie is to try its best to sort out just exactly what the Illinois Supreme Court would do here.
Well, there's also additional language in the Metzger case expressing the court's extreme reluctance to expand constructive discharge into that territory at all, and talking about how the court has consistently sought to restrict the common law tort of retaliatory discharge.
Why
should we take some hints from language like that the court's going to move in the exact opposite direction?
Your Honor, I think what you have to do is you have to read what's available. And what is clearly available, this all started with Zimmerman, did it not? And there's no language anywhere. In fact, other courts have picked up on this very language that I'm reading. And nobody has come out to reach the conclusion, absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts, short of actual flat-out termination, you don't have a right for retaliatory discharge. In fact, and we've cited these opinions, these references in our briefs, looking at Zimmerman itself, they leave the door open.
Well, Metzger is post-Zimmerman and, in fact, cites Zimmerman.
Of course it does, and it doesn't disclaim that language in Zimmerman, Your Honor. If you can conclude from Metzger and the other opinions, but the other opinions interpreting Zimmerman, as well as the Illinois Supreme Court, all take the position that Zimmerman does not flat out hold that a retaliatory discharge claim is only available when there's total termination, separation from Maytag.
Another big problem you have is the fact that your client didn't provide this updated medical information. And you don't dispute, do you, that Maytag has a policy that's uniformly applied that when you don't provide that updated medical information, you're terminated?
Your Honor, I see my light is on, answering briefly. If, in fact, you conclude that the act of discrimination, if it existed at all, occurred in September when he got his letter of termination, then we have no claim. The question is, do we have a claim based on what happened to him when they didn't give him light duty work?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Michael Leed. Like Mr. Zedakis a little bit earlier, I have one that's not likely to be confused with anyone else. And since I've become a lawyer, it's typically mispronounced and has provided no end of amusement.
I imagine so.
I think the briefs fairly portray this case. I really have only two or three points I'd like to raise. First, a procedural point. We believe that the plaintiff's arguments about indirect evidence and discovery issues were waived by not being raised in the opening brief. We would take the position that there's no reason for this court to seek certification to the Illinois Supreme Court. As the court has noted in its own questions, all the signals suggest that discharge means discharge, and looking at anything that happened at an earlier stage of time is simply irrelevant. In fact, interestingly, just before the section of the Zimmerman case that Mr. Dunham read, the court talks about why expanding the tort to a demotion would simply be troubling, because it says, while the demotion may appear to be amenable to clear definition, many questions arise. Is a demotion in title or status, but not salary, actionable? Could a transfer from one department to another be characterized as a demotion? And so forth. If we take the facts in this case, let's say that we only found or could only find light duty work for Mr. Seddon for a few weeks. Or none at all. You know, where would we end up drawing a line there that at some point he's actually been constructively discharged? It makes managing these situations virtually impossible. I think that expanding the tort's a bad idea. I think the courts have all recognized that, and I think that there's really nothing more to be said on that point. I think Judge Gilbert got it exactly right. He focused on what it was that Janice McConaughey knew. She was the person that made the decision. There's no dispute in the record that she was the sole decision maker. She did not even know that Mr. Seddon had a workers' compensation case pending, because that simply was not part of her job. And as, again, the court pointed out, what got Mr. Seddon fired in this case is that he ignored Ms. McConaughey's letter even after signing a receipt for it. It has nothing to do with retaliatory discharge. We would ask that the decision be affirmed.
Your Honors, we did not take the position either in the district court or in this appeal that we have a claim under the McConnell analysis for indirect evidence. We believe that if you look at Nina Thompson's affidavit, as well as this this referral out to Dr. Kitchens, that we got direct evidence. In fact, she basically admitted to our witness under in conversations with her, numerous conversations, that she had an anti-workers' compensation bias. She admitted to that, and on summary judgment, we had to take that testimony as true. All I can say is, Your Honor, we cite two cases, both federal district court cases, where in our brief, where the federal district court has read Zimmerman and come to the conclusion that they cannot conclude as a matter of law that under the facts of this case, where Mr. Seddon has offered something that's essentially meaningless, you get to stay in our roles and you get to be treated as a Maytag employee, but we're not going to give you any work, we're not going to give you any paycheck, and we have Marie Brasher has got this anti-workers' compensation animus. We think at a minimum we ought to give the Supreme Court of Illinois an opportunity to either answer the question flat out or not. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This case will also be taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow morning.